We thank you for the word. We thank you for the opportunity to come tonight, to fellowship, to worship you, to give you glory and honor. We ask that you would bless this study, that you would anoint it in each of our lives, that, Father, that we would be able to glean from it practical things that would help us in our walk. So wash us clean of our sins, bless us, and anoint each and every one of us. My words that I speak in the hearts, all of our hearts, to be sponges for your Holy Spirit to just immerse us in your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, we're going to continue on. Last week, we taught out of Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And this week, we're going to teach out of Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 again. But totally different subject matter in these verses. They're so well packed. If you begin in verse 1, and the very first word says, therefore.
What is it therefore?
That's true. What is it therefore? But in the Greek, therefore means because of this. Because of what? Because of all of chapter 4 that we just finished, you now have this, which is all of chapter 5, that we're going to be going through, but only the first two verses tonight. So therefore, whenever you read it in the scriptures, is a very important critical word to focus in on. If you recall, and that's what therefore wants you to do, chapter 4 was very detailed on what God did for us by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, and even more so, his resurrection. And really, what Jesus did for us can be summed up in the four simple words that follow the word therefore, where it says, having or being justified by faith. Justified, just as if it never happened, as we looked at last week. That by faith, that if we take that faith that we looked at where God had placed that, we looked at it in Ephesians, where God had placed that faith into us. And all we had to do was take that faith and put it into the plan of redemption. If we did that, then according to God, we are justified. And because of this being justified, we now are the recipients of these first two verses. And we see in these first two verses three blessings that are bestowed upon those that believe. And that's what we want to focus on tonight, these three blessings. Not that there's not more, but I want to focus on these. In verse 1, it says, therefore, having been justified, we have peace with God. We have peace with God. Now, last week, if you weren't here, I encourage you to get the CD on that, or we've had some problems with our webpage, and we should be back up online, and it should be on there anytime, calvaryelcentro.com. And we talked about the difference between the peace with God and the peace of God. We stand in that position today, justified. We stand at peace with God. The war is completely over. The battle is finished. We looked at last week the peace of God. Philippians chapter 4, there in verses 6 and 7 and 8 and 9, but primarily the first two verses, it said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Boy, there's when we put the rubber to the road, when we apply the word of God and we make it applicable to our lives in this particular area of being anxious or worried, and we turn that same energy, if you would, I'm not a new ager, but if you take that same wasted energy of worrying, being frustrated, and you apply it into worship, you apply it into supplication, you apply it into thanksgiving, you're going to be flooded with the peace of God as the benefit of doing that. So it's important for us to know that the war is over between God and those who have placed their belief and their faith in him. There is absolutely no record whatsoever in God's eyes. No record of your failures. No record of your sins. They have been completely washed away by the sacrifice of Jesus. You could sit there until you're blue in the face saying, God, don't you remember this sin? And he goes, no, I'm sorry, I don't. I don't see it. I don't remember it because it has been washed by the blood that Jesus shed on the cross for you. That's a pretty amazing God we have, that he refuses to bring to remembrance any of our sins. That's why it says his mercies are new every morning. What a great blessing that is, that his mercies are new every morning. And we can apply that to our lives. The battle is over. There is no record whatsoever. But unfortunately, some people, Christians, don't get it. They're still fighting with God, even though the war has been declared completely over. I don't know about you guys, but every now and then on History Channel, something sparks my interest and I'll watch it. And I remember a while back watching the History Channel, and it was talking about World War II, and it was talking about the Pacific and the islands and how the Japanese would come in and make these islands fortified by themselves. And the Americans would have to come in and fight tooth and nail to get them out, and a lot of the Japanese would hide. Well, this one Japanese individual hid so well, and then when the Americans left, he continued to fight the war even after the war was over with. He would hide deep in the jungles. He would build forts to fight off the Americans when they came back. And finally, he was captured in 1972. And he refused. Did any of you guys hear that and see that? He refused to believe the war was over until the Americans who captured him brought one of his superior officers from Japan, stood him before this man, and the superior officer told him, the war is over. And he'd been fighting in his mind that war and preparing to battle the Americans for all those years. What a waste of time. My goodness, he could have been back in Japan. Productive life. Maybe he could have been the president of Sony. Maybe he could have owned Toyota, although then his last name, it wouldn't be Toyota, it'd be something else, because his last name wasn't Toyota. But what a waste of life. But doesn't that apply to us sometimes? That battle, we choose to continue to fight with God instead of just submitting and surrendering to God? It's just an amazing thing that sometimes we just don't give in. Some Christians still don't get it. They think that God is at war with them and that anything that happens to them, you know, goes wrong, God's punishing me. It's like this situation that happened in our neighborhood once on Wednesday, that there was a bullet shot that rang out and went through this window, and the person that was in there was saying, you know, to the sheriff, God's punishing me, God's punishing me, God's punishing me. Well, I guess El Centro Police. And the police officer said, no, it's just life. You got to move on. And boy, does that not speak volumes. So often we as Christians think, well, God's punishing me. When in all reality, it's nothing of punishment whatsoever. It's just part of life. Didn't Jesus instruct us that in the world you will have tribulation? But he also said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And yet, some Christians just don't get an understanding of that. And they keep thinking it's wrong with God and that God's out to get them and they don't have peace. And, you know, they live the life, well, I didn't pray today or this week or this month. Or I wasn't in the Word today or this week or this month. Or I missed fellowship for, you know, I didn't even have any fellowship today or this week or this month and they think God hates them. No, you are still at peace with God if your faith is in God. But you have missed out on tremendous amounts of blessings. Stop and think about it tonight. We're here. We've worshiped the Lord. Those that are home watching American Idol, are they getting the same blessings we are? Not at all. See, they should record it and get both. Are they getting the beauty of God's word soaking them and immersing them? No. But they're still Christians. God still loves them, but they're missing out on this blessing of fellowship. When we're done and finished, and some people love to hang out and talk and enjoy one another, are they getting to do that? Not really. But see, God still loves them, but they're missing out on what God has. So learn to accept that in God's eyes, you are righteous. You are justified, just as if it never, ever happened. You can't earn it. You can't pay for it. All you can do is accept it and enjoy it and be blessed by Him, and you can be a blessing to Him as you worship Him. So the first blessing that we see there is peace with God. The second one is a tremendous blessing that we have. I want you to think about this. We are human beings, frail as we are, physical human beings. But verse 2, excuse me, it reads on and it says this, through whom we also have access by faith. We are human beings, but we have access to God. How can that be? Some people think. I'm a nobody. I'm not a Billy Graham. I'm not a Franklin Graham. Marcy and I were watching an interview on Franklin Graham as we were preparing our meal tonight. Well, we're not Franklin Grahams or, you know, Chuck Smiths or, you know, this person or that person. I'm a nobody. Are you really a nobody? Well, let me illustrate it with a true story about this little boy that went up to Buckingham Palace. And he started crying out that he wanted to see the Queen. He wanted to see the Queen. He wanted to talk to the Queen. And the guard shooed him away. He said, "You can't. Get out of here. Get out of here." And the little boy stood there. And he started crying and crying and crying. And Prince Charles at this time was 20 years old. And he happened to see the whole thing. And he walked down to the little boy. And he said, "Here, take my hand. I know the Queen. Come on in and you can talk with her." And he took him right in, regardless of what that beef eater said. Now, you think I'm making a name up. If you guys love to play Scrabble, here's a great Scrabble word. B, you got to have a lot of E's for it. B-E-E-F-E-A-T-E-R. You need four E's. Beef eater. It means a guard at Buckingham Palace. That's their name, beef eaters. And so he wouldn't, so now y'all Scrabble people are writing that down, aren't you? That's a great word, isn't it? Someone puts beef and you got a big long word there for him, especially if you hit that triple note. And Prince Charles took that little boy right in to talk personally with the Queen. And so with Jesus, His hand is extended out to you and to me. How do we know that? Just go back and read chapter 4, all that God has done for us. More than just read it, believe it. See, there's a big difference between reading and believing. God wants us to read and take the word and believe the word and apply the word and know that Jesus' hand is extended to us and is willing to take us right into the throne room of God. This word access is a very interesting word. It's used only 3 times in all of the New Testament, and every single time it's used in connection with Jesus. Right here, it is used in Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Flip over to Ephesians 2:18. Just a few up. Are you there? Ephesians 2:18. For through him, that would be Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Through Jesus Christ, we have access. The third place that it's used is found in Ephesians 3:12. It's probably on the same page or the next one over. And it says, in him, or in whom, we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. We are able to go into the presence of the Father spiritually because of Jesus. And boy, once we get that through our minds, once we get that understanding that it's not because of who we are, it's not because of what we've been able to accomplish in this life that gets us access to God. I know that in our society, you have to win the Super Bowl or the Stanley Cup or whatever they call the basketball championship. You have to win one of those things, and then you get invited to the White House to meet the president. But we don't have to do that. We don't have to win anything because we are winners because Jesus did the winning for us, and we are on his team. And Jesus has his hand out there, and he says, take it now and follow me. Have access in to the presence of my Father. Now, how do we know that? Well, back to Romans, notice verse 2, it says, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we, what? Stand. That's our position. We stand in that position. We have access to the Holy of Holies, that's where God is at, and we get to stand there. Let me tell you, God's throne is not like In-N-Out Burger. Have you ever gone to In-N-Out Burger? I love their burgers. I love their fries. I always eat the fries first because they're better when they're hot. And I'm going to sin right now and just make you guys salivate. I love them animal style. And I love the burger animal style. Killers. Just killers. It's probably killing our cholesterol, but it's killers. It's really good. But you can have an extremely long line. And before you know it, I mean, you're just talking there a minute or two, and you're at the front of that line, bingo, bango, bongo. You got your number, and you're over here, and you're just waiting for it. And they call your number out, 23, 23. That's me. And you go out there and get your whole two or three or four trays, and you eat, and out the door you go, and the line just keeps going in and out. They've got that down. Now, I don't mind promoting them. They're a Christian organization. So they're holy calories. They must use holy cows. It's not that way with God. You get to go in and stand in his presence. Now, I'm not recommending this movie at all, but there's one scene in the movie Dave where this guy that looks just like the president is, you know, pretending to be the president. But there's a tour going through the White House, I think it was. It could have been the Capitol. And the tour guide is going, we're walking, we're walking, we're walking, we're walking. And they stop for a second, talk, talk, talk. We're walking, we're walking. It's just like, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. And God's not that way. God's saying, if anything, hurry in and sit down and relax because this is where you stand. This is your possession, the position that you have with me. God doesn't run us through like a factory. He wants us to stand there, and you can stand in his presence as long as you want, and you can enjoy his presence as long as you want. He is waiting for you, and whenever you want to spend time with him, guess what? He's not like some of us say, I'm sorry, I can't do it right now. We had a guest here at church, and we were trying to take them to lunch, and somebody needed counseling, and they just didn't even ask. They just said, we got to talk to you right now. And I felt so bad. I go, I've only got a couple minutes. I'll do the best I can. But I've got to get over here too because I have this commitment. And you know, I went in there and I took care of it. But I felt bad that I couldn't just spend as much time as needed. I felt bad. But I had to get over there too. You know, and can't split me in two, but God says, take all the time you want. You can be here as long as you want. You're not bothering him by staying too long. I think God sometimes is sad. He goes, ha! As we run through with our popcorn prayers. We're just not there to fellowship, to worship him and to love him and to just be blessed by his glory and tell him how much we love him. And then all of a sudden we just, you know, we lay out our things and they're not that important because we'd rather go back just to feel his presence and his glory just fall upon us. Those private, intimate moments that God so longs for each of us to have. When we as Christians grasp this truth, oh man, it just changes us and it brings us to that position that the third thing that we want to look at is a natural byproduct. You know, sometimes I like just being in my office, I've been studying or you know, reading certain things and studying the scriptures, and sometimes I like to just close my eyes and just go like this and just not even talk with him. Because I've been absorbing him. I just like to go like this and just sit there quietly. And then all you just feel his presence. You've just been bathed in his word. And you just sit there quietly. Not with a list of everything. You know, we have our times where we go into intercession. But just feeling his presence. It's a magnificent thing. It's a wonderful gift that God has given us. And boy, when we do, we come out of that feeling so wonderful and cleansed and washed. And that's just the natural byproduct of what takes place there in verse 2, the last part of it, where it says, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's the third thing. We rejoice. Jesus talked about us being, our joy being full. If you don't remember, go back and read the Gospel of John, chapter 14 and 15, where he talks about our joy being full. God wants you to have joy. God wants you to rejoice. And I know that when I don't have that joy, and I'm talking about me personally, and I'm overwhelmed with different things, it many times is because I'm not necessarily walking in the Spirit. I'm not fulfilling Philippians 4, 6, and 7, where I'm not casting my cares on him. I'm being anxious, and it's sucking me dry, like a leech, just leaching the joy out of me. And it shows me that, man, if I don't have joy, and it's different than happiness. Happiness circumstances create happiness. Joy is given because we understand who we are in Christ. And if my joy is being sucked out of me, then I realize I'm not walking in the Spirit. I'm not really communing with God the way I should. I'm not really having that intimacy and that fellowship with God as I should, because my joy is being sucked out of me because I'm allowing the world to suck it out of me. But when I allow God to pump in his glory, then my joy just overflows. It just overflows. And I'm not saying this is you, but you may want to check if you don't have joy in your life. Could it be that you're walking not in the Spirit? And if you're not walking in the Spirit, what other alternative is there? You're walking in you. That's a polite way of saying you're walking in the flesh. And we don't need to be walking in us. We need to be walking in the power of God. We need to be walking in the truth of God. We need to be walking in his presence. Do you pray daily? God, help me be open to your divine appointments. Are you so task-orientated? Divine appointments are all on the path and you just walk right by them and never once even notice them once. But you walk in the presence of God, you go, whoa. And all of a sudden, there's this situation that God has prepared you to meet the need of that person through the power of the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Now, some of you might say, well, Pete, you just don't understand my circumstances. You don't know what I'm going through. Well, you're right, I don't know what you're going through. But I know that God knows what you're going through. And I know that what God wants our heart to be towards our circumstances and our trials. And it's not an Eeyore attitude. How many Christians you know that should have, you know, the little cartoon hung around their neck of Eeyore? You know, they're walking around, woe is me, this, how much more can I take? When they go through tough times. Well, Pete, that's not fair. You're being pretty harsh. No, I'm not. I'm being honest. You just don't like to hear the truth. What's the truth then? We're not going to study it today. Next week we will, but look at verse 3. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Ooh. I'm not hearing any amens to that. Do you glory in your tribulation? Do you? Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Are you, God, thank you. Thank you for this trial because you're going to teach me some wonderful things. We'll talk about that next week. But here, what I'm saying is, God wants us to have joy. God wants us to rejoice. But what does he want us to rejoice in? Circumstances? No, not at all. Look what it says. He wants us to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I want to repeat that again. He wants us to rejoice in what? In the hope of the glory of God. So that means that we have to get our eyes off of certain things and get our eyes on the glory of God. And then we put our hope in the glory of God. What's the glory of God? It's God and all that he is. But is God to you way out there up in the universe so far away that you feel like you're all alone down here? Well, then your perspective of God is, I'm sorry, but warped. Isn't God everywhere? Didn't Jesus say, I'll never leave thee nor forsake you? God's right there, but many times with our attitudes, we turn our back on him and go this direction. And we have our own little party over here. God, when I'm finished with it, I'll come back to you over here. But God doesn't want that. God wants to be the one that encompasses all of your life. Every aspect of your life, the good and the glorious things and the horrible things. When I had this lymphoma that was on my chest, weirdest thing in the world, doctors just looked at it and said, I've never seen it go that direction. I've always seen them go inward. Marcy had to say to the ladies at the pastor's conference, the pastor's wife's conference, that is, we don't know. This may be my last pastor's wife conference I ever attend because of my husband's situation. And then with the mix-up of the insurance and this and that, the delays, we were left out hanging there to dry, wondering what's happening. And not once did we not have the joy and the peace of God through it. Not once. Knowing that my life could be over, but God just reached in there. And it's just like sin. Just like sin. The doctor took a big old scalpel. And just like the doctor, God will shove you full of Novocaine. And he took that scalpel and he cut down and he cut deep, he cut wide. And he got all of that hunk of a mass of a tumor out. And all the edges were clean. And they did a PET CAT scan and there was not one hot spot in my body. But through the whole thing, even when they shot those isotopes into my arm and I had to sit in that room and wait for over a half hour with radiation just going and pulsating through my body before I could go into that machine, I just had a sweet time with the Lord, talking with him and enjoying him all by myself in there because the technician didn't want to be there with me with all that radiation going on. He said, I'll just leave you in here. And then they came and got me, and I went in, and in the midst of that big old thing, all the racket it was making, I could still feel the presence of God. And then we got that phone call, and Marcy was so excited when the doctor told her, and then she runs outside and gets me, and happened to call on one of my days off, and I went in there, and he told me I was clean. There was no problems whatsoever, that everything was good. But you know what? You can have that joy knowing that you belong to God in the midst of your trials. Every trial you face, you still belong to God. And that's the joy of knowing who we belong to, where we stand. That is our position, and the blessings of being able to know who we are. Now, there's two areas that we can rejoice in. Like I said, the hope of the glory of God, and He wants us to understand His glory. And as you spend time with Him, and as you read His Word, and as you study Jesus and see Him through the Gospels and how He acts and how He responds, and you take your time and you just don't read it, you know. And I hope that as we're going through the Bible in a year, and if you're not, grab one of those papers in front of the chairs in front of you. Don't just read through it and be it over with. Think about it and allow the Lord to drop these gold nuggets on you and enjoy that time. All of a sudden, His glory is going to be revealed to you. And all of a sudden, you're going to see more of God and what His nature is like and the blessings of who He is, how powerful He is, how magnificent He is, how majestic He is. And then the glory just begins to, you just can't help it. You get a smile on your face and your joy just begins to go. That's number one He wants you to, you know, glory in. But the other thing that He wants you to rejoice in is to know this, to learn of God's nature. God's nature is now being put as a Christian into your life. That is an awesome biblical truth, that God's glory is being put into your life as you let Him do that work of sanctification in your life. Don't believe me. You should always have your Bibles open and check out what I say. So I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians to see what I say is not just something that I'm making up, but I want you to see it in Scripture. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Listen to what God is doing for us. But we all, that's Paul talking to all the Christians, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. God is changing us into His nature. I am not the same person I was when I accepted the Lord on May 12, 1975. I have moved forward. I've tried to leave more of my old nature behind and try to move forward into my new. Now, sometimes that old nature jumps up. Some of it was gone instantly. Some of it, he still get that hammer and chisel and working away on it. I feel like an ice, you know, sculpture, you know, chipping away. But God loves me enough to chip away at that. And God loves you enough to do that as well. And every time we go through a trial, if we go through that trial and we learn the lessons that we're supposed to learn, as we're going down our path, we get a choice to keep going or, no, I'm not going to go that way, and we come back. But God loves us enough to bring us back on that path. And then if we accept and learn the lesson, we move up the path a little further. And sometimes we don't want to, and we go in a circle again, and then we move up if we learn the lesson. And I'm sorry, but I know there are some Christians that have been Christians for a long, long time. And they're down here on this path and they're just going like this. They're just spinning in the same thing because they're not willing to learn the lesson. But, or the thing I hate worse in counseling, I know. After 35 years of counseling, whenever I hear, I know that they don't know. It's just a fact, guaranteed. And when they say, but, they're saying, but I'm different than what the Scripture says. And they're spinning in a circle. I just want to grab them and say, stop spinning in a circle. Get through this one and move here. Why go back over the same things over and over and over again? Don't let Satan take that territory back. You keep that territory that God has given you victory in, and let's move on. There's more battles in front of you. Let's get these other ones behind us and keep moving forward. And so let Him do that work in changing you. But know, and this is important, you can hinder God by holding on to things, sinful things, rebellion, not doing it his way, doing it your way, sinful things of bitterness can just chew up a person. You know, we were talking about cancer earlier. Bitterness. Man, I do a lot of talking with the Lord when I'm cutting my grass, and I was cutting that grass a while back, and this person popped into my head, and I went, oh, man. And then this person popped in my head, and I went, oh. And as I continue going, I'm going, oh, God, I thought I got rid of all that bitterness. It's still down there. Oh, God, I don't like what I see. And I finished cutting the grass, and later on, I went and told Marcia, I said, man, I thought I dealt with all that stuff, but yeah, it just came back on me when I was cutting the grass. I had to ask God to forgive me, you know, just for having those thoughts. You know, those things happen, and we can hinder God if we grab hold of them. Now, Satan will tempt us, and there's nothing wrong with temptation as long as you don't yield to it. If you yield to it, then it's sin. It's not sin if you're tempted. Wasn't Jesus tempted? Mm-hmm. Did he sin? Mm-mm. So temptation's not the sin. It's what you do with the sin, whether it becomes sin or becomes victory in your life. And you know what I have learned? When Satan tempts you over and over and over on the same thing and you don't give in to it, guess what? He quits. And then he comes behind and kicks you in the hind end to get you going on something else. Spiritual warfare. But you've won that ground. It belongs to the kingdom of God now. So let him kick you and say, okay, you're not going to get this one either, buddy. You want to kick again? You're not going to win. Keep kicking. You're not going to win. You can kick me up and down all you want, but I'm giving this to God, and God's going to have the victory. I will not give in and start dwelling on this stuff. We are our worst enemies when we dwell and dwell and dwell, and then we just go into depression. Because we don't say, enough is enough. Satan, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. It is written. And you quote the verses that apply to this. But you begin to think, well, yeah, they shouldn't. And you don't even see what you look like when you do that. But when you say, Satan, it's written. Get thee behind me. It is written, that's what Jesus did. He used the word of God, and he was victorious in all his temptations. Let us not hinder, whether it be bitterness or gossip or tale-bearing or any other type of a sin that could hinder your spiritual growth. Put an end to it. Stop it. Don't be talking about people. Go ahead and just walk in victory. Don't let bitterness grab your heart like cancer. But know this, saints, if you are in that circle of despair, you are still at peace with God. You're just not experiencing the peace of God because you haven't applied Philippians chapter 4, 6, and 7. So I encourage you, memorize those two verses. Memorize them and then put them into effect. Because your stand is secure. You are in Christ. You are justified. You're just missing out on the blessings and say enough's enough. I'm not going to miss out on it anymore. I'm going to walk in victory and give God all the glory. Don't be like that Japanese soldier. Surrender to Jesus in those areas of your life. Take Jesus' outstretched hand. Grab hold of that hand. And let him take you into the access of the Father and enjoy that fellowship with him. Stand in his glory, the glory of the Lord. Learn to enjoy God. People say, I don't like going to church, you know, just singing and talking with one another. That's not much fun. Man, are you going to be bored in heaven? Because heaven is worshiping God and fellowshipping with Jesus and the saints. It's going to be a glorious time. Man, we need to learn to love it now and enjoy it now and appreciate it now. Why? Because the more we understand how much God loves us now, the more that he's going to reveal himself to you now. And the more you're going to see the glory of the Lord. So enjoy him. Don't be cast down. If you think you're in one of these little spinner circles, say enough's enough. I'm moving beyond this. I'm going to walk in victory. Satan's not going to gain this anymore. I'm going to walk in the presence of God. Jesus, I'm going to grab your hand, and I want to go into the throne room of God because you've given me access, boldness, not to go in there and dictate to God, but to go in there with the total confidence in the world that God's been waiting for you, the Father's waiting for you. And you walk in, and you may go, God, where you been? And he says, I've been here all along. Where you been? And that's the question we need to ask ourselves. Where have I been? Have I been in the presence of God, or am I down here like that little mouse on the treadmill going in circles? You may get a lot of physical exercise, emotional damage, but you're not going to get spiritually strong by running in circles down here. You're going to get spiritually strong when you understand that your standing is through justification, and that's where you stand with God, at peace with God. So enjoy him and enjoy all he has for you, and you'll be blessed beyond measure. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to study your word, to learn that we have a wonderful standing in you. We have access to you. We have ability to rejoice and not have to be bowed over by the enemy. Thank you for what you've done for us, Jesus, on the cross. You have blessed us beyond measure. We give you honor and glory and praise. We are just blown away by what you've done for us and how much you love us. Father, the things that we have learned today, may we apply to our lives so that we would be, as James says, doers of the word, not legalistically, but because we love you, we want to apply the word of God in our life to be a blessing to all those around. And we bless and praise you and thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's